Hey, it's Andy. Welcome or welcome back to the Brownsbridge Church podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to download the Brownsbridge Church app, where you can access all of our recent message content, as well as find out more information about Brownsbridge Church. And the app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend. But most importantly, I hope the following presentation inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
One of the things I've observed about this time of year is that, generally speaking, there's two groups of people. There are the goal setters and the non-goal setters. And you know who you are, right? And you're proud about that, which is awesome. You know what happens between goal setters and non-goal setters? They typically get married. And that provides a rather interesting experience. And I say that really from experience. My wife, Wendy, is here today. We've been married for 22 years. I'm the goal setter in the marriage, and she's the fun one. You want to definitely hang out with her. And we had to learn how to do this, because our third year of marriage, near the end of the year, I was thinking, okay, we have a new year coming up. What I decided to do is, hey, let's get away for a little weekend bed and breakfast up in the North Georgia mountains. But what I didn't tell Wendy is, yeah, we're going to go up to the North Georgia mountains for bed and breakfast, but I was going to surprise her. I was going to surprise her with a goal-setting weekend. Because, you know, what wife wouldn't want her husband to kind of have some goals for the new year so that this could be the best year that we've ever experienced? So I call up. I shared this story, by the way, a few years ago, but it really kind of helped lead us to where we want to go today. I called up to the bed and breakfast owner and said, hey, I've got two three-ring binders that I'm going to bring up. I'd like to give them to you during check-in, kind of secretly, so my wife doesn't see it, because I really want to surprise her. She's going to be thrilled with this. And I asked him if he had a flip chart that we could use, because you can't really do goal setting without a flip chart. Surprisingly, the bed and breakfast didn't have a flip chart, but he was kind enough to go get me one. So Friday night, we get up there, we eat dinner, we're out on the front porch, coffee and dessert, and here comes the bed and breakfast owner with a flip chart and the two three-ring binders, and I'm thinking, this is going to be awesome. So he gives Wendy her three-ring binder. I said, honey, surprise, we're going to have a goal-setting weekend. This is awesome. So if you'll turn to the first section, we're going to talk about finances. This is going to be amazing, right? And I was so looking forward to this. This ended up being a terrible weekend in our marriage. From that point, there were tears and crying throughout the weekend. And halfway through the weekend, Wendy turned to me and said, Jeff, stop crying. Pull yourself together, man. Man up, you know. So I say all that to say, you know, you might be the goal setter and you might be a non-goal setter, but what we're going to talk about today, I think all of the goal setters and all of the non-goal setters can get on board with. Not only that, if this is your first Sunday in church for a long time, or first Sunday back, or you've been tracking with any of our churches any time for a length of time, by the way, this is your first time here. We're so thrilled that you're at one of our churches, and we hope you have a great experience. But wherever you may be on your spiritual journey, we believe that what we're going to talk about over the next three Sundays, the first three Sundays of the year, we can all get on board with and go, you know what? Whether I'm a goal setter or not, no matter what I believe about Jesus, I think I want that. So let me tell you what we're going to do. Since this is part one of the series, I want to give you a quick overview of what we're going to do. And then the next two Sundays, Andy Stanley's going to be back. And I'm telling you, people, that Andy Stanley, he's got some potential. So he's going to be over here the next couple of Sundays. And so what Andy's going to do is kind of cap out the series and finish out the series. But I want to take a couple of minutes to tell you where we're going. And here's kind of the subtitle, the promise of this series simply says this. The title is better, but the subtitle, the promise, is how to have a better year than last year. How to have a better year than last year. And I want to talk about why we think this is possible for us, and then we're going to look at a principle today that we can implement. If we implement this principle in our lives, I really do believe this principle will help us have a better year this year than last. Now, to do that, we need to start with kind of a foundation, and I'm going to put a question on the screen here in just a second. And I just want to let you know, for some of us, this is going to be an easy question. For some of us, it's going to be a tough question. And I just want to let you know I know that. But I want to ask this question because it's going to give us a direction of where we want to go for the next three Sundays. And the question is simply this: how was last year? It's not enough to say, hey, we believe that you can have a better year this year than last year, without asking the question, how was last year? And the reason this question is important is because for some of us, when you hear how to have a better year this year than last, you're like, Jeff, well, good luck, because I had a tremendous year last year. And I'm hoping this is true, but that's a high bar. But for some of us, the bar is pretty low. What I mean by that is that last year wasn't a good year for you. I totally understand that. And so for you, it's like, yeah, I was so excited to have last year over with. Maybe for the majority of us, it's probably a combination of the both. And last year had some really good things, and last year had some really challenging things. But in the middle of all that, however you would answer that question, what we believe as a collection of churches is this simple truth, that better is possible. Better is possible. And so if it's okay, I just want to put my cards on the table and tell you what I believe about this, what our churches believe about this, and what we believe about God, and what we believe God thinks about you. We believe your Heavenly Father wants this for you. We believe that your Heavenly Father wants this year to be better than last year. And here's why we believe that. Let me just pick on me. I'm an imperfect earthly father, but I want this for my kids because I love them with all my heart. But if I, as an imperfect earthly father, want this for my kids, how much more will a perfect heavenly father want and give good gifts to his kids because he's a perfect heavenly father? Your heavenly father wants your life and my life to work. Not surprisingly, Jesus comes to the scene, comes to planet Earth and says, hey, let me tell you one of the reasons why I came here. This is what he said and ties into this. He said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Another translation says, have it to the full. Jesus said, hey, I've come so that you might have life, understand how to make life work and have it abundantly. This is why I love what Andy says about this when it comes to following Jesus. He says, following Jesus will make your life better and make you better at life. That following Jesus will make your life better and make you better at life. So what we believe for you today is that you have a heavenly father, we have a savior, that when we follow him, he makes life better and makes us better at life. And that's really the premise of this series. So as we begin today, I want to let you know that I feel like I have a responsibility today, and I feel like you have a responsibility today. So let me tell you what my responsibility is and what I'm going to challenge you to do. My responsibility is to give you a principle that I believe that you can implement in your life that will help you make this year better than last. Your challenge, your responsibility is to look at an area where you would say, you know what? I think this particular area in my life, I think I need to gain some momentum because as I look at my life in the past year, I think I may have lost some momentum in this particular area. So to help you fulfill your part of the deal here, let me put on the screen five areas of our lives. These aren't all of the areas of our lives, but these are five huge, significant areas in our life. And as I put these on the screen, I want you to pick just one. I know the goal setters are going to go for all five. I respect that and I appreciate that. But the challenge here is just to pick one, okay? And I'll explain this, all right? Here's the five that we're going to look at, or just actually have you pick one. But if you want to make this year better than last, there's probably one or something within one of these five that you would say, you know what? I need to gain some new momentum in the new year. It might be financially for you. You may look at last year and go, you know what? My spending certainly outpaced my saving. That's not a great trajectory. I need to change that. There may be a relationship. Maybe you just need to invest more time in a particular relationship. Maybe at least as it relates to what you can do, there's a relationship in your life that you really need to improve this year. Maybe it's physically. Maybe we need to eat broccoli. I hate to say that. Maybe there's that. Maybe it's working out. Or maybe it's career. You know, maybe we need to get better at receiving feedback at work, or maybe you've been thinking about starting that business, but you've got to take some steps toward that, or maybe it's spiritual. In fact, the cool news for all of us at our churches today is, whether you know it or not, you've actually applied and practiced the spiritual principle, which is really cool. It says when you draw near to God, God draws near to you. But as you look at this list, here's a question I would like to ask you. Is there an area somewhere within here where you would say, Jeff, I've lost some momentum? And the other question is, how can we change that? And if you look at this list and say, Jeff, I think there's not a single area in which I'm losing momentum, I would just encourage you to share that with the people in your life and see how they would react to that, because they might have a little bit of a different response to that, okay? So here's where we're going. If you were to say, okay, Jeff, there's a relationship, there's a financial thing, there's a health thing, there's a work thing, there's a spiritual thing, okay, I've got that particular area. Then here's what I want to do. I want to introduce you to a principle that I think can help you. So we're going to do three things in our remaining time together. The first thing we're going to do is I'm going to share with you this principle, which I think is a fantastic principle to apply in the new year and throughout the new year. The second thing we're going to look at, though, is a problem. And the problem is there's an obstacle that prevents us many times from applying this into our lives. And then the third thing, the most exciting news of all, is we're going to look at how our Heavenly Father, how our Savior can remove that obstacle from our lives so that we can apply this principle. And when we apply this principle to the new year, I firmly believe if there's an area where we lost momentum, that as we apply this principle, we'll get to the halfway part of the year, maybe even earlier, and definitely at the end of this year and go, you know what? It's true. I was able, with God's help, to make this year better than last. So that's what we're going to do. Three quick things. The first thing I want to do is introduce you to this powerful principle. And it's simply what I call the consistency effect. The consistency effect. The consistency effect simply says this, that small things consistently over time lead to big things. Small things consistently over time lead to really big things. Now, the bad news is this is true from a negative standpoint. Small negative things consistently over time lead to negative big things. None of us will walk out the door tomorrow and say, I want to ruin my life today. Now, what happens is it's small negative deposits over time, and then one day, the whole thing blows up. It was just small negative deposits over time. That's the bad news. The good news is the opposite is true, that small positive things consistently over time lead to really big things. Now, when it comes to the new year, this is typically forgotten, and it's overplaced, or there's something else that gets greater publicity, and this is actually a good thing, and that's commitment, right? And commitment is good. Commitment, here's what commitment will do for you and me. Commitment will get us to the starting line, right? I want to commit to that spending plan. I want to commit to that workout plan. I want to commit to going to church. I want to commit to this. All of that's great. And commitment will get us to the starting line. But consistency will get you to the finish line. Commitment will get you to January, and that's awesome. But consistency will get you to July, September, October, and December. This is really, really important. So let me give you a couple of examples to talk about the consistency effect. The first is what, I got this from an author, David Bach. He talks about the latte factor, the latte factor. And before I go any further, I just want to let you know, I'm not preaching against lattes. I enjoy lattes. If you're at one of our churches sipping a latte, that's awesome. I'm not judging you. God isn't judging you. There's not a Bible verse against lattes, okay? This is just an example to say, hey, small things consistently over time can really lead to big things. So what David Bach calls the latte effect is this. He says, if we were to say that your average latte costs $3.50, and depending on where you get your latte, this is either, you know, cheap or too high, you know, all of that. But he says, generally speaking, let's just say it's $3.50, right? Now, what David says is that over time, if you were to take that $3.50 and not spend it on a latte, but invest it in a mutual fund day in and day out with a 6% interest rate, in 30 years, you would have $106,000. So what his point is that it's really not a $3.50 latte. Through the power of consistency, it's really $106,000. But the latte drinkers see this and go, but Jeff, that's not having a latte for 30 years. All right, I totally understand that, all right? It's just an example, people. It's just an example, all right? Not telling you not to drink lattes. But what I am saying is that the power of small things can sometimes be overlooked. Let me give you a visible representation of what this looks like. These two jars, one is full of marbles and one isn't. This jar right here represents the new year, all of the days of the new year, okay? So this is the new year that's ahead of us. So the consistency effect would say, if you want to change your life, if you want to help this year become better than last year, what you've got to do is you've got to find that one area that you need a little bit more momentum in, that one area that you might say, you know what, of those five, that's what I'm doing. Find a discipline, a habit, or whatever, and then tomorrow you practice the latte effect, if you will, and you do it over here. Or maybe it's the, yes, I am going to eat broccoli tomorrow. And maybe it may be, hey, I'm going to go work out. And what happens is we tend to think that we're not making much change because it's just one marble. So what we do working out is a great example of this. If we haven't worked out in a while, what we try to do is we go to the gym tomorrow and take this and try to dump it all in to try to make up for lost time, right? And the only problem with that is we wake up, there's not any noticeable change, we just can't get out of bed, all right? And And intuitively, we know that that doesn't work. That what does work is just consistent deposits over time. But when we do this, we don't think we're gaining any traction. But what the power of the consistency effect would say is, hey, small things consistently over time will lead to really big things. And so let me tell you what your goal is. Let me tell you what our goal is. If, and this is just part one, if you want to have a better year this year than last, what you've got to do is to make sure that you have more marbles over here in the first quarter, the second quarter, the third quarter, and in to the end of the year. And the more marbles of consistency over here, the greater traction and momentum that you're going to get, and the greater traction that you get in that particular area, the better this year will be than last. But your challenge is to be consistent day in and day out. Now, this kind of makes sense, right? We kind of know day in and day out, the more we do this, the more it's going to build, and we're going to see some momentum. And because this is so intuitive, because this is so simple, because we go, you know what? I do understand this, Jeff. I can't dump, you know, all these marbles in 2-hour workout and expect to get, you know, massive change. It does happen one day, one habit, one practice at a time. I totally get it. It would be easy for me to go, okay, let's go be more consistent this year. Have a great week. I'll see you next Sunday. But the problem when doing that is I would be doing you a disservice. Because there's a problem with this. There's an obstacle with this. The reason, in fact, that there weren't a lot of marbles in this side of the jar in the previous year is because there is something going on in that particular area. And let me explain the obstacle. See, when you saw that list and you said, okay, I know which one of those five I need to focus in on, when you've identified an area of improvement, what you're in essence saying is, I'm not as strong as I need to be in that particular area, which is okay. But what you've done, maybe unknowingly, but here's the truth for us. When we identify an area of improvement, we often also identify an area of weakness. And when we identify an area of weakness, we identify an area that we're not as strong in. So if all we do is I'm gonna commit to this change, at some point our strength runs out. And we may start January strong, but our strength runs out and we stop. And it's not your fault. It's just an area that you're not strong in quite yet. And what that means is, and this is true for all of us, all right? There's nobody perfect here. In fact, if you're here at any of our churches and you're perfect, congratulations. You don't have to come back next week. But for the rest of us, we're not perfect, okay? We need to get okay with that. We all have weaknesses. There are areas in our life, at least, that we're not as strong in as we would like to be. The other thing is we have a tendency to compensate for or hide our weaknesses. So if it's a financial issue and our spending outpaces our savings, typically how we compensate that is we overspend, which digs a deeper hole. Or we try to hide our weaknesses and pretend they're not there. So the question is this, as you look at this, if you want to practice greater consistency, the question we got to ask is there an area where you need greater consistency? If so, is it possibly a weakness? And here's the good news, not just good news, it's great news. God wants to help. God wants to help you. That's the incredible news that we're going to see today. That if you want more consistency in your life, and maybe you didn't experience it last year, and maybe it's because you just kind of ran out of your own strength, God wants to give you the strength so that you can continue to do this. So what we're going to do today is we're going to understand that when your strength runs out, how to tap in and how to access the strength of God that will never run out. And when you access the strength of God, you'll be able to gain greater consistency day in and day out so that when you get to the end of the year, you're going to have a jar full of marbles. Now, here's the cool thing too. If you're new to any of our churches, or maybe you're back in church for the first time in a long time, and I totally understand this, by the way, it's easy to look at Christianity, it's easy to look at the people who wrote or in the Bible as superheroes, they had no issues, and they're just perfect, holy people. I mean, we deify these people, we call them saints, and it's just not, you know, it's not real life. The only problem with that is when you open up the Bible, you begin to realize that these people are just as messed up as us. They have their issues. In fact, here's some good news. Did you know that there are people in the Bible that are more messed up than you and me? And they're actually in the Bible. Let me give you an example. A guy named the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is a legend. I mean, he's a legend. He wrote over half of the New Testament. We could argue that the reason we're here on the other side of the world talking about Jesus and singing songs about Jesus is because of this guy and what God did in his life. Some of you might not know that this was the guy that wrote this. Some of you, for those of you that are married, the pastor that married you might have spoken words that this guy, the Apostle Paul, wrote. This guy's a legend. And yet when you begin to see Paul's life, here's how he describes himself. He says, I am the chief of all sinners. Meaning that if you wanted to rank all the sinners of the world, Paul says, I'm number one, start with me. And honestly, with all due respect to Paul, he had a pretty good case. He had a pretty good case. So he comes to this situation in his life where he's writing a letter to the church at Corinth, and he starts talking about an issue of weakness in his life. Wait. You're Paul. I mean, you're the man. You're the church planting hero. You have a weakness. And what Paul begins to tell us, he begins to reveal to us a weakness in his life. And as he does, he begins to show us how even the Apostle Paul, the superhero, the legend, had weakness in his life, weaknesses in his life. But what he began to discover is that God gave him strength right in the middle of those weaknesses. And as he tapped into God's strength, God used him day in and day out to literally change the world. This is what he writes in this letter to the church of Corinth. He says, this is an amazing statement. He says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Apostle Paul, the legend, is saying, hey, just so you know, there's a weakness in my life. This particular weakness, we're not quite sure exactly what it is, but Paul is talking about what he describes as a thorn in the flesh. And this word thorn in the New Testament language is the same word that is used to describe a tent stake. And Paul was a tent maker, and he said, basically, there's a tent stake in me, and I want to get it out. And so he begins to have a conversation with God. And as he does, he begins to understand this amazing truth that when I am weak, I can also be strong. What does that mean? What he's saying is, I've discovered how to access the strength of God, even in my weaknesses. And if we can figure this out, this is an amazing gift, not only from Paul, but from our Heavenly Father. Now, the interesting thing is, this is a little perplexing. It's this statement, for when I am weak, then I am strong. It's kind of like an oxymoron. You know those words, they're two words that have opposite meanings that come together to form a word? Let me give you a couple of examples of oxymorons. Jumbo shrimp. Jumbo shrimp is the two words that have different meanings come together to form one word. Pretty ugly. Jumbo shrimp, pretty ugly, and the Utah Jazz. And so these are words that apart from themselves don't really go together, right? But when they're formed, they're like, oh, I know how that works. Now, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong, I don't really understand how that works, because I could relate probably more to this statement. For when I am weak explains my weaks. It kind of explains, it's kind of life, you know? I got thorn in my flesh and struggles and hardships and all that. That's kind of life. But what Paul is saying is, hey, I got great news. If you have a weakness in your life, and with all due respect to you and to me, I'm pretty sure there's at least one. Paul is saying, when you're weak, you can also be strong. Can I tell you how that works? And if we can figure this out, it will give us the strength day in and day out to be more consistent. Because our strength will run out, but when we tap into God's, he will allow us to become more consistent day in and day out. Why is that true? Because following Jesus will make your life better and make you better at life. So he's writing this letter to the church at Corinth, and he writes these two foundational verses. And so what we're going to do in these two foundational verses, I'm just going to pull out basically a three-step pathway to the new year ahead of you. And I believe if we'll follow this three-step path, then it would allow us to be more consistent so that we can make this year better than last. So let me tell you this, walk you through this three-step process, and then we'll dive into the new year. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says this. He said, but he, and this, and he's, Paul is letting us in on a conversation that he's having with the Lord. The Lord is here. But he said to me, he's talking about the thorn in the flesh, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So what I want to do in this verse and the next one is pull out this three-step process. And the first step is actually right here. I want to highlight this verse right here that says, "I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses." What Paul is saying is, hey, don't feel like you have to hide your weaknesses. Share them. And so the first step is simply boast. Admit your weakness. And here's what's so remarkable about this. Paul is saying, therefore, hey, I'm not going to hide my weakness. I'm going to boast about them. And here's what he discovered as it related to weakness. Paul shows us that our weaknesses are opportunities to get closer to God. And for many of us, we try to hide our weaknesses. And when we do that, we shut off the valve of being able to access the strength of God. What Paul is saying is, no. I'm going to boast all the more gladly and bring them before the Lord and say, I'm struggling here. Just doing that, admitting your weakness, is a huge first step. But then the second step, he goes to this. We continue in the verse. He says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect,' not in the great things that are going on in your life. My power is made perfect in the weak places." And so what Paul is teaching us here is to ask for God's grace, to ask for help. You admit that weakness, and then you say, "God, here's my weakness, but I need to apply more consistency, but my strength will run out. Can you give me your grace and your strength? Can you help me?" Now, what's interesing to me, I'm a preacher's kid. I grew up in the church. I was with the church 9 months before I was born. I've been on staff for a long time here. I was on staff at Buckhead Church for a while. Love you all. Now at Gwinnett Church. And so I've been around church world all my life. And there's a few phrases I hear from time to time. And I want to share with you one of them, which I think can be a dangerous phrase. It says this. I'll hear this a lot. "Jeff, I know as a Christian, I know I shouldn't be struggling with this, but..." We feel like that when we struggle, that somehow that's offensive to God. And what that's an opportunity for us to do is to admit and stand before God. By the way, he already knows. This will not be new information to him. But when we stand before him and say, "Hey, I know you know, but now I want you to know that I know that I know. And I'm bringing it before you. Will you help me?" And here's why this is. If we get too used to the sermons and too used to the worship lyrics and too used to the Christians, the story of Jesus, that sometimes we can kind of feel like we're independent. We don't really need God. And if we struggle, then that's probably wrong. Yeah, we want to grow. We want to mature. But here's the problem, that we will never, believe God's grace is sufficient until we believe that we are insufficient. And that's what Paul is saying. You know what I've realized? I'm insufficient. Even the church planting hero guy is insufficient. So I want to boast about my weaknesses and I want to ask for help. And here's what I've discovered about people who will do that. It's counterintuitive. It takes a strong person to admit they're weak. It takes a strong person to go, "You know what? I got issues. I need help. God, will you help me?" So the first is admit your weakness. The second is to ask for help. Then he goes on to the next verse, verse 10, and he says this. He says, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities." These five here are so interesting because in some ways, this is kind of describes our daily lives, right? Sometimes there's a weakness in the day. Sometimes there's insults in the day. Sometimes there's hardships in the day. Sometimes there's a persecution. We feel trapped in something. And then there's just the calamities of the day. And what Paul is saying is, hey, this isn't a once in a while kind of a deal. If you're going to tap into God's strength, what you're going to have to do, if you want to gain some traction, if you want to understand how to tap into God's strength, you have to do this. It's not only admitting your weakness, it's not only asking for help, it's receiving God's strength daily. Receiving God's strength daily. And if you'll do this year, what we're going to discover is that God's strength will strengthen you in ways that maybe didn't happen last year. And here's why this is important. When God's strength and his power consistently meets our weakness, we grow. We grow. We grow. And by the way, This is our mission here at all of our churches, to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that happens is to admit what's really happening, ask for help, and receive God's strength on a daily basis. And for some of you, here's what I want you to hear. For some of you at any of our churches or watching online, this is why this next statement is probably why God brought you here today. What God wants to tell you is this, as it relates to that weakness or that struggle in your life. God isn't disappointed in you. God wants to help you. God isn't disappointed in you. God wants to help you. My dad, when I was a young kid, when he would discipline me, and I know that those of you that know me think it's shocking that my dad would have to discipline me, but when I was a kid and my dad disciplined me, what he would tell me is, son, I'm not disappointed in you. I'm just disappointed in that you forgot who you are. You're a Henderson. We don't treat people like that. We don't act that way. I'm calling you to a higher standard. That's what God is doing. What your Heavenly Father's doing. He's not disappointed in you. God wants to help you in the new year. How does that work? Here's how this works. You access the strength and the power of God just like the Apostle Paul did. And here's how he did it. He talked about boasting of weaknesses, to admit your weakness, to ask for help, the grace and the mercy and the love of God, and to do this on a daily basis because life is going to throw things at you on a daily basis. And if you will do this, God's strength will give you the power on a day in and day out basis to move forward when your strength runs out. And when you do this, and when you tap in to the strength of God on a daily basis and move forward in that particular area in a very positive way, because small things consistently over time lead to big things, as you do, God's going to write a beautiful story of a testimony of what the power and strength of the Creator of the universe did in your life this year. That's an extraordinary opportunity. And that's why we believe we can say with all credibility, it is possible to have a better year than last year, because the strength and the power of God in that weakness, if you'll admit it, if you'll ask for help, and if you'll receive the strength of God daily, over time, you're going to see an amazing story that is written. Now, what I want to do in this point is I want to close by giving you two really practical things to do. But to do that, here's where we've got to go. This is kind of how you access this God's power. And what we're going to do is to do that, it's going to require consistency. Consistency is going to require more strength. Don't rely on your strength alone. Rely on God's, because your strength will probably run out. God's won't. So the first step I want to tell you to do is just don't go it alone. Don't try to do this alone. Surround yourself with some people. They're going to encourage you, because one of the ways God strengthens us is through other people. That's why our churches are really designed. One of the things we're designed to do is to put you into a small group of people that meets consistently over time, that will strengthen you, hold you accountable, give you belonging and care and love. And when your strength runs out and you go to small group and you go, I just don't think I'm going to do that anymore. Whoa. Remember, God loves you. Remember, God is with you. Remember, we want to help you. And when that happens, when you have a group of people that are strengthening you, God strengthens you through them. Now, the reason I bring this up, or one of the reasons I bring this up, is there's not a better time of year, if you're not in a small group, to get into a small group right now. In fact, at all of our churches today, if you'll just go to the particular guest services area, if you're not in a small group, I want to encourage you to go to that guest services area and simply ask them a question. And that question is, hey, how do I get into a small group this year? And they will love to answer that question. Now, you're not signing up for anything. You don't have to meet tomorrow night. That's not where we're going. You're just asking the question, hey, how do I get into a small group? I want to challenge you. I want to triple dog dare you to go ask that question if you're not in a small group. Because it's not enough to go, you know what? I want to tap into God's power. That's awesome. One of, not the only way, but one of the ways that you do that is to surround yourself with people that are going to allow you to be strengthened through them so that you can have more marbles this year. Now, this isn't just true for adults. Let me just tell you, and if I can take off my church hat for a moment and just put on the hat of a parent, one of the things I'm so grateful, Wendy and I are so grateful for, is that we brought our kids. You know, our kids were in Wambaland and Upstreet here at Buckhead, and they went through the whole thing from Wamba to Inside Out. My daughter now is a college sophomore, and my son is a high school junior. We only have like 18 months left in these family ministry environments. We have loved them, and are so grateful that we consistently brought our kids to these environments. And here's why. Here's what I believe, that when my daughter, let's say, she's 19, when I allow her to get married at the age of 45, when that happens, I guarantee you, her small group leaders from here and from Gwinnett Church are going to be there. I know when my son Cole gets married, his small group leaders from Buckhead Church and Gwinnett Church are going to be there. And the reason I know that is I do weddings as a pastor, and I see these small group leaders showing up at these weddings, and it's extraordinarily rich to see their impact and how God has used them to strengthen this young man or young woman. Parents, one of the best gifts you can get your kids this year is to consistently be here in these environments. So don't go it alone. One of the ways God strengthens you is through other people. The second way I want to give you, and we'll close with this, is I want to give you a prayer. And my hope is that this prayer would be a prayer that we pray consistently as a collection of churches. And before I give you that prayer, I just want to give you a quick recap. Here's where we've been going. Here's where we're going to go for the remainder of the series. Here's what we believe. We believe it's possible. We believe it's possible to have a better year than last year. And as I mentioned, it's going to require some consistency. Consistency will require more strength. But don't rely on yours. Rely on God. The bad news is your strength will run out. The good news is God's won't. So here's how this works. Paul teaches us this: to boast about your weakness, admit it, ask for help, and receive it daily. And so here's the prayer I want to give you as a church. It simply says this. This is our prayer for this year. It says, Lord, I need you. Please give me your strength for today. Lord, I need you. Please give me your strength for today. This basically is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. Lord, I need you. Admit your weakness. Please give me, ask for help, your strength for today. So here's how this works. Tomorrow, I want you to pray this prayer. By the way, on your way out, at most of our churches, we're going to give you a marble, all right? Some of our churches don't have marbles, but Walmart does. So there you go, all right? And I want you to have this marble, place it somewhere where you're going to consistently, this marble is going to consistently remind you of this prayer. And here's what I want to challenge you to do, encourage you to do. Tomorrow, I want you to get up and pray this prayer. Lord, I need you. Please give me your strength for today. The next day, Lord, here's this area. Here's my area of weakness. I need you. Please give me your strength for today. Lord, I need you. Please give me your strength for today. Lord, I got to get better financially. I've got to get better in this relationship. God, I've got to get better in my physical health. God, please help me. I need your strength today. Lord, I need you. Please give me your strength for today. It's pretty simple, but it's pretty powerful. And your goal is to fill up the remainder of the year with these prayers. But as you do, what you'll fill up this jar with is the power and the strength of a God who loves you so much. And as you do, through his power, he will show you what he can do in your life. And you'll experience how he can make this year better than last.
Hey, once again, thanks for listening. If you're a Forsyth County resident, I would love for you to attend one of the weekend gatherings at Brownsbridge Church. For directions, service times, and information about our fabulous children's and student environments, please visit us at brownsbridgechurch.org. brownsbridgechurch.org.